Okay, well, we're back to Corinthians for 1 week anyways. As Phyllis said, she'll be here next week sharing from her prayer journey. And I'd really encourage you to come and maybe bring some people who have a heart for missions and prayer. You can show them that this isn't something that you have to... You didn't have to go to special school to learn how to go on this prayer journey, did you, Phyllis? Now, God provided and led her through the whole thing, and she's going to share that whole testimony, and it's really going to be pretty awesome what she does next week. So we'll be giving her majority of the time. We will not have a praise and testimony time, just to give so that we can focus on giving Phyllis as much time as possible for her presentation. Well, we're back. 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 6. It says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men know the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths and spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept these things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you send your Holy Spirit yet this morning to give us wisdom and understanding, as it says, Lord, to reveal to us, to give us that understanding through the Spirit. That spiritual discernment of your word. Father, I pray for your anointing to be upon me, that as I preach, your Holy Spirit would be upon me, that would fill me. And that the words I speak out would be those spiritual words that express the spiritual truth of your mind, Lord. Not the mind of the world or the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God. Father, we pray that your people here would be encouraged and blessed, that your name would be the one lifted up and glorified. Now, Father, be present here in our midst, empowered in truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We do not, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. Now, in a couple weeks, Paul's going to come back and tell us that people aren't being mature. But those of us who've known the Lord Jesus, or known Jesus as our Lord and Savior, for any appreciable length of time, are supposed to be mature. We're supposed to mature. We're not supposed to stay infants. Just like A newborn baby is meant to grow up. So as we as Christians are meant to grow up. We're not meant to stay infants. It's not healthy. It's not right. What do we call a 12-year-old that acts like an infant? Spoiled baby. We call them a problem. Because by 12, we're expecting a little more maturity. And what about that 24-year-old that acts like a 12-year-old? Those are people whom we get downright disgusted with. They are supposed to be adult. That's Paul talking to people in Corinth. You're supposed to have grown up. You're not supposed to stay spiritual children. Now, there are many people who stay spiritual children throughout their lives. They come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and say, oh, mission accomplished. I got my free ride to heaven. I'm good to go. And now, no more work required of me. That's just not the way it's supposed to be. That's just not the way we're supposed to live our lives. We're supposed to grow and mature. Well, how are we supposed to grow and mature? Where is this knowledge supposed to come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit, which literally tells us here is the mind of God given to us. Now, that's a scary thought when you think about it. Each one of us here has access to the mind of God. Now, that's not so much the scary part. The scary part is that most of us don't bother to access it. Here we have the wisdom of God right there. And what do we do with it? I don't see anything. And that's been the condition of man for thousands of years. For all of recorded history, we do these types of foolish things where we have a blessing or a benefit given to us and we say, no, I don't want to do it that way because I want to figure it out for myself or I want to do it my way. We do this as children as we're growing up. My dad would say, do it this way. I'm going to do it my way. And most of the time, I messed it up really bad and then I had to go back and ask him to help. Well, that's the same thing with our lives. When we try to do it on our own instead of doing it God's way, we mess it up. So we're looking at this. It's telling us that we have the wisdom of God at our fingertips, but we aren't availing ourselves of it. And yet there are people out there who don't have the wisdom of God. Some of them have it, but they ignore it, and some just don't have it because they have not yet received the Holy Spirit. They don't have that wisdom. And it tells us, though, that those who are accessing the Holy Spirit, who are accessing the wisdom of God, are not to be judged by the world, cannot be subject to any man's judgment. Verse 15, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about somebody like Hosea. Now, the men's Bible study, we've been studying Hosea. You know what? This guy was a priest, a prophet, a Levite. All the things that says he's supposed to be holy. There's specific rules about who he can marry, who he can't marry, how he can live and whatnot. God speaks to him through the Holy Spirit. Says, Hosea, go marry a prostitute. A woman who sleeps with other men. And he does. Well, that's strictly forbidden him. A priest was only to marry a virgin. Now, I have not yet to meet somebody who says that they're a prostitute who is a virgin. And it's not that once he married her, she became spirit-filled herself and now followed God. When you read the story, you see that she continued in her ways. She kept selling herself, and that the children that she bore while married, was it, probably weren't even his. But God told Hosea to do that. So the rest of them couldn't say, you can't do that. We had Jeremiah, who in chapter 26 of Jeremiah, he's in the temple and he's preaching. He's preaching that God's going to destroy this place. He's going to tear it down. All the priests, and after everybody gets done, the priests and the people, and everybody says, we got to kill this person because he's prophesying against God's temple. He's saying it's going to be struck down. And they finally get all over there and they have like their little immediate trial. And he's, well, let me go to Jeremiah. I didn't tell the guys I was going here, so they don't have it up there. But Jeremiah 26, I'll give you a verse here in a second. Start with verse 10. No, I'm 12. Then Jeremiah said to all the officials and to all the peoples, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city. All the things you have heard, now reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent and not bring disaster as he has promised against you. As for me, I am in your hands. Do with me whatever you think is good and right. Be assured, however, that if you put me to death, you will bring the guilt of innocent blood on yourselves and on this city and on those who live in it and on the truth the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing. Then the people all of a sudden changed mind. They said, oh, well, maybe it's not such a good idea to kill him because he's speaking God's word. But yet Jeremiah was willing to say, I've obeyed God. That's all that counts. You guys do what you will. Just remember, you're going to be the ones that face the consequences. The Holy Spirit sometimes tells us to do things like that. We don't know why. Jeremiah, go through Jeremiah. God tells Jeremiah to do all sorts of weird things. Object lessons. Jeremiah is the king of the object lesson as far as preaching goes. I mean, this man laid naked on one side for a while and then another for a couple of years in order to show this terrible thing. He's making pots and breaking pots. He's burying belts. He's doing all sorts of weird stuff. Object lessons to show the people of Israel. This is it. Hosea's life itself was an object lesson. Sometimes God tells us to go places and do things, and we don't know who's going to see the lesson. Chris took his off his beaten path, and he ended up talking with a guy. And then the guy changed from the devil hates you to God loves you. Both are true statements. But which is more likely to lead somebody to a greater hope? I had an interesting discussion last week, week and a half, online. There's a discussion group chat room that I go to. Or I should say discussion board, not a chat room. They're different. One is real time and one is the other thing. Anyhow, in this, there's a forum in there called Truth versus Pravda, which is the religion section. All religious discussion is supposed to take place here because it happens other places in the forum. You know, truth, religion and politics, the two things that people always have disagreement about. Somebody had posted, and they're heard from the pulpit. And he said, just the quote from his sermon that his pastor had shared in his sermon that week, God is looking for spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. And we've heard that one before. A lot of us have heard it for years. You know, it's not brand new. However, one guy who's a young Christian, he posted this. The interesting thing about this quote is so much of it depends on what religious means. Also, what religious nut means. Because of being a hardcore Christian, I am 21 and a virgin, never been drunk, even though I'm at Michigan Tech, a school known for such things. Some people would say that makes me a nut. Does anyone remember DC Talks, Jesus Freaks, album and or book? I would say that in order to have spiritual fruit, you have to be a religious nut, in the sense that without absolute commitment to following God, there can be no spiritual fruit. However, I think that this spirit, the spirit of this quote was intended in, was more along the lines of, don't go around preaching fire and brimstone, love people. The self-righteous, condemning, hateful, spiteful kind of religious nut. I certainly do not want to be or see. While there is a place for fire and brimstone, love is paramount to Christianity. And as Christianity is one of the two dominant religious forces in America, the other being secular humanism, this quote is quite a rebuke for a lot of people in the Christian community. They, and sometimes I too, certainly need it. Now here's a young man who's really got his head on straight. Okay, recognizing too that secular humanism is a religion. And it is a faith that many people are here. And it is one of the paramount things here in the U.S. Now, this started another conversation. Somebody else jumps in, a man by the name of Manfred. This guy goes, my respect and my astonishment at the following remark made it by an obviously pious person. I would say that in order to have spiritual fruit, you have to be a religious nut, in the sense that without absolute commitment to following God, there can be no spiritual fruit. End of the quote. Does this mean that persons belonging to a religion which, in which there is no place for a God will have no spiritual fruit? This man is serious. He thinks that without God, you can have spiritual fruit. I see some of you looking back going, what? There are people out there who believe this and think that because they have their own kind of, well, I take a dash of this and a little of that and I come up with my own deal. Now, I entered into a conversation with Manfred. And I explained to him that since this was a quote from a Christian pulpit, and that the young man who was responding was himself a devout Christian and speaking on a Christian topic, that yes, indeed, he was talking about spiritual fruit that can only be gotten from the Holy Spirit. And I even stipulated the Christian Holy Spirit, as in case nobody could have any question about where we're going there. In fact, well, Pastor Bruce, isn't the Christian Holy Spirit part of the Holy Trinity? Three entities in one entity, and the same in all eternity. So he has some idea about Christianity. He's learned about it. To me, it seems logical that if the Holy Spirit is residing in a human being, then God too is residing in that person. Huh? So far, he's tracking really good. And from this, I conclude that the definition of spiritual fruits is not that much different from that of the Sufis. Hello? He's just taking this boom, turn. And he's talking about your spiritual fruits now the same thing as that of a group of people called Sufi. Now, Sufi isn't of any one particular religion. Now, I had to find out about it because I actually responded to him and said, I'm sorry, you find me ignorant. I know nothing about Sufi. I don't know what a Sufi is. Well, it turns out it's kind of a people group. Some are Muslim. Some are Hindu. Some don't have any religious background. And they're kind of in that Indian, Pakistani area and out in the Middle East. Some are agnostic, you know, some follow Buddhism. But yet, some are called dervishes. If you heard whirling dervishes, this is the same people group type thing. They don't get it. Say, I know nothing about it. I said, I can tell you it's not possible to have fruit of the Holy Spirit from any other source. You get apples from an apple tree and you get pears from a pear tree. The two may have be similar, but they're not the same. Now this guy responds again. He's very polite and we're having a good conversation. He said, I apologize for a comparison between Sufi and Christians concerning spiritual fruits. Somebody who does not know what a Sufi is under such conditions, using comparison is unfair. Nevertheless, allow me to ask. He said, what pleases the difference between your fruits given by the Holy Spirit and those of God's Spirit mentioned by John Bootstrack? Well, again, he caught me on... I tried to look up this guy online. I couldn't even find him. Could it be that you are both meaning the same and are only using different words? Whatever, your statement tells me that Christians are able to get a special sort of spiritual fruits, namely that of the Holy Spirit, while the people of other religious books, the Muslims, the Jews, can get other spiritual fruit. I hope different spiritual fruit from the same or different God. This is neither a joke nor cynicism intended when I write that if there is only one God, his or her generosity has given to humankind the basic ingredients for a spiritual fruit salad, which, by the way, the recipe given by Sikhism seems to be not too bad one. So he's going, Sikhism is the way to go. I'm like, we're able to go back and forth a couple times and came back and jumped down. He said, you know, you said what spiritual fruits are. He said, I can't tell who has been filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't tell who has the Holy Spirit. Can you? And I responded that, yes, I could. I can, however, say that as a Christian of even more fundamental evangelical bent, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit are available only to Christians, as they require the presence of the Holy Spirit working within the individual for the fruit to be produced. Not to say that one cannot have peace or other fruit aside from the presence of the Holy Spirit, but it's a different type of peace or fruit. Now, he said, well, I can't tell. And I said, well, if given the opportunity to question and observe them, I can make a reasonably accurate determination, say to 80% certainty or better. 100% accuracy is reserved for God. People fall into four categories: yes, no, maybe, and fakes. Most yes and no's are pretty straightforward. The fakes and the maybes take a little more observation to figure out. No one can say Jesus is Lord and mean it, aside from the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is where observation is required to determine if the profession of faith is real or faked. Not all fakes are intentional. Some just say what they think is expected or desired of them, and some just do not understand. Christianity teaches Christians are to hold one another accountable. But it is God who judges what we have done with Jesus, and whether we have rejected or received Him as our Lord and Savior, not other Christians. To this response, Manfred comes back and says, after looking at your website, I've got the feeling that your statement is no lie. My compliments. I've made an inroad. Did he come to understand, really, what was being said? No. Why? Because he didn't have the Holy Spirit in him. He had all the truths. He understood things. He knew stuff about different religions that I had no clue about. But he had basics down. He understood who the Trinity was. He understood that it's God residing within a person. But he didn't get it. That requires the Holy Spirit to have that spiritual discernment. Last night, Dan Adler, he shared an illustration of something that happened up at Crossroads. They've got a Muslim temple, mosque, just like across the street and overflow parking. They're using the the parking lot up there at Crossroads. And the guy said, you know, in talking with the youth pastor, said, I really appreciate that you're allowing us to use, you know, the parking lot here for overflow, when we have overflow. And I really appreciate that. And they got to talking for 40 minutes. And I said, now there's two things that get in the way of him believing in Christianity. One, why in the world would God allow himself to be crucified? He understands that Jesus is God. Or at least that's our contention. Why would he allow himself to be crucified? It's painful. It's demeaning. It's terrible. Why would God allow it? Why would God go through such a thing? He just can't get past that. Two, he could not believe that God would forgive all sins. All of them. And those are the two basis points of Christianity. That God did love us so much. Why? It's only because of his love. But you have to believe in love. You have to believe that God loves us that much, to believe that God would do it and that he did it. And his forgiveness of all sin, you have to just accept it. And it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can do that, through the wisdom that God gives us. Okay, it's not something that we come in and of our own. Why am I in Colossians? Okay. Put my glasses on when I turn my pages. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by Spirit, expressing spiritual truths and spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept these things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. We don't convert anybody. It's the Holy Spirit that does it. But the Holy Spirit does require us to go forth and speak the word, because that's what God has used for his plan. We're supposed to be more mature. We're not supposed to stay as infants. We're supposed to be living the mind of Christ, but we have the mind of Christ, is the very last line of chapter 2. We have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. People, you don't need me. You have the mind of Christ. You have the Word of God. In order to have understanding of God's Word, that's where you seek your wisdom. From the mind of Christ. From the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean you get an ooey-gooey feeling in your gut. Well, sometimes the Holy Spirit can give you such a thing. Always remember, how do I know it's God? How do I know it's the Holy Spirit? How do I know what's not the devil? I mean, goodness gracious, the devil. I mean, he knows everything, doesn't he? No, he doesn't. He only knows that which we know him. It tells us over here that none of the rulers of this age understood it in verse 8. What? That they would... If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Rulers of this age. Who's the prince of this age? Who's the ruler of this age? Scripture tells us that's Satan. And also the under princes. You know, none of these people understood. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. The enemy doesn't know. And even if he has the understanding here, he has the Word. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit within him. He doesn't have that understanding. He doesn't know. He only knows what we tell him, and he only knows what he really chooses to believe. I don't believe they're going to do that. I can't believe God would do that. But he did. Why wouldn't he believe it? Because he would never do it. He doesn't have the mind of Christ. You do. Each one who has accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, we get that. Now we start off with babies and understanding. It's like, you know, if I receive the Encyclopedia Britannica and I haven't learned how to read yet, I've got it. But all that information is kind of locked away until I learn how to read. And then I've got to, you know, increase my vocabulary and go through. That's kind of where we're at as Christians. We have it, but we haven't studied it. We haven't learned it. We haven't made it part of us. Make the mind of Christ that which guides your every step. Don't be seeking the wisdom of the world for how should I get on. Seek the mind of Christ. This church is not still here because of the wisdom of the world. It made every sense in the world to close the doors on this place 10 years ago. When they sat down in the district office and they tallied everything up and they looked at the numbers, they said, close the doors. It's not worth it. It's not doing it. Can't make it. But see, that wasn't the mind of Christ. God wanted this church here, and He's provided for it. He still wants us here. And He wants us doing stupid things like stay open. He wants us going out and doing stupid things like saying, hi, I'm Chris. God loves you. And yeah, I know Satan hates me. Isn't that great? What? You're my Chris too, aren't you? No. I was talking about you, but I could have been talking about my son, or I could have been talking about his son. You know, we have multiple Chris's here, so it's kind of like a blanket saver, yeah. But just for clarification, I was indeed picking you out this time. It's one of the privileges you have of being a member. It's one of the privileges we all have of being a member of the body of Christ, isn't it? God picks us out. Boom. You, today, I want you to go here and do this. Why? Don't know why. He doesn't always tell us why. He just says, do it. What is the mind of Christ? Do this. I want you over here to do that. Why? You won't understand. Why? Do you understand particle physics? No. Well, this is like 20 billion times more difficult. You don't get it. Just do what I tell you to do and everything will be better. There was a worship leader at our church called Open Door up in Princeton, Minnesota. When I was up there back in about 92, he said, God woke him up in the middle of the night and said, go down to the corner convenience store gas station. Stand over here. And he went and he stood there. Now, he was part of the motorcycle ministry, so he had on his biker gear, leathers, whatnot. He's just standing there. He stood there for about a half hour and then felt the Holy Spirit just say, okay, go home now. It's like, what? He has no clue what went on. why he was supposed to be there, but he was. He knows it. Maybe somebody was planning to come in and rob the place, but you know, this guy just kept standing there. He wasn't leaving. You know, they don't like to have multiple people. They just want to like catch just the cashier all by themselves. You know, I can't tell you. All I know is he was obedient, and it was really weird. Sometimes God's going to tell you to do something, and it might be really weird. Well, how do I know I should do it? How do I know it's not the enemy trying to get me? Is it contrary to God's word? Have you been listening to God on a daily basis? Have you been reading His word? You see, if you're familiar with His voice, you'll be able to recognize somebody else trying to imitate Him. And then you'll know. If you know God's word and you know the heart of His message, and if He tells you to do something, if you hear a voice or an idea comes to you that is contrary to the heart and purpose of God, you know it's not from God. But if you have a message which just seems strange, I want you to stand here as a light for me. Okay. Okay, you're done now. You may interact with somebody, you may not. You may enter into a conversation like I did with this guy on the internet, which a lot of people are reading because it's posted. It's not just me and him. It's a bunch of people will read that. At least 1,000. I know that for a fact. Chris had his conversation with this one drunk dude on the corner. But it wasn't done. There are other people that will be impacted through that. That guy was impacted. We have the mind of Christ. Let the mind of Christ, not the mind of the world, be what's guiding you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You do give us the Holy Spirit, that You have revealed to us Your mind. Lord, might we grow up and mature and become better at knowing Your mind and following Your will and doing Your work. Lord, help us to mature as Christians by seeking Your spiritual truths. Father God, might we walk not in the wisdom of the world, but in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, which at times will seem like foolishness to men, but is indeed not foolishness, but the wisdom of God. Might we trust in You and not. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close and we are singing.